Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 18 Summer Show. We are your hosts, Jim
and Jamie Shields. We're here to help you bring family back.
In the last decade, we've helped thousands of families create the family life that you have always wanted.
We give you simple solutions on how you can ignite your family life and succeed in both business and at home.
And please remember, time is of the essence. You only have 18 summers to truly connect with your children.
So let us help you make the most of it. Hello, 18 Summers Tribe. We're here today with Lauren Donahue, introduced to us by Rob Mack, another sweetheart. So we're super excited to speak with Lauren today. And she's a friend of our other friend, Clay Hebert.
Mr. Clay Hebert, yes.
We're totally famous name Clay dropping Hebert. Today. So as the creator of Unplugged Mornings, Lauren created a 9-step process to help individuals disconnect to reconnect, something we really have in common.
Yes, that's a big one for us.
Lauren's hiked Mount Kilimanjaro, which so has our last
guest. We just talked about him going Kilimanjaro. This is hilarious.
I want to hear all about that.
How often do you get that?
Yes, 2 Kilimanjaros, because we sure as hell haven't done it. So
no, I haven't met anyone else besides the people I went with, so I need to be introduced to this person.
Yes, they're a great guy. We will.
Isn't that amazing? So Lauren's opened and sold fitness studio. She's a certified personal trainer, group fitness instructor, fitness model. She's just as beautiful on the inside as the outside. I already know this just from fangirling her. tens of thousands of online followers. She's recently identified as a woman of influence in the Los Angeles area, and keeps incredible company with not only the mayor of the town, but also her squad of girls and fans. So welcome, Lauren. It's great to have you with us today with 18 Summers Tribe.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here. I'm very excited for this conversation, especially after we had a little chat before this. And I'm like, we know so many of the same people, and this is just going to be a really impactful and meaningful conversation.
Yes.
I'm super excited. Thanks for being here.
Of course.
So I would love to talk to you about, so you discovered and created Unplugged Mornings. So really setting the tone for yourself, which is huge that Jim and I talk about even more so during the pandemic. We can't just like roll into a day. We can't roll into an environment. We really have to set that tone. Can you talk to us a little bit about your intentional morning program?
Yeah, and I think it's really relatable to the times right now, because we've been talking about pandemic and lockdown and kind of being in our own little caves. And the whole reason that this unplugged method came to me is from an experience I had living in a cave for 60 days. Talk about quarantine. There was not food and there was not abundance. And so when we first went into lockdown, I felt almost kind of bad, because I thought, gosh, I have everything. I have a bed, I have pillows, I have water, I have food. And maybe it wasn't the exact food I wanted to get because all the food was off the shelves, but I just felt so grateful because I had this perspective of, I've been in a place where I didn't really have anything that I owned. We were actually stripped. Even our clothes were stripped while we were blindfolded, and we were put into these cave outfits, and we walk into a cave and we no longer have one thing that we own in our life. And I'll just throw in a little message and download that I got during that time, is that we actually don't own anything in this life at all. It's all borrowed. Our family, our friends, our things, everything. And when we can really get that in our core and let that sink in, we get that, like, in a moment, something can be taken away from us, right? So in a moment, this pandemic happened and a lot of things were taken away. How are we going to show up in the face of that, right? Are we going to show up grateful for what we do still have? And so through that experience, I learned a lot. As you can tell, a lot of the life lessons that I carry with me today came from the cave, on gratitude and things like that, but far beyond that. And in that cave, I also realized that something I really relied on in life outside the cave was outlets. I plug into outlets all day long. I plug in my computer to connect. I plug in my phone to connect. I plug in my Nutribullet to make smoothies. And I have 3 fans, not one, but 3 fans in my room at night. It sounds like a Boeing 757 starting up. I get that thing going so I can sleep at night. And I didn't think I could sleep without my fans. I would literally travel with them in my suitcase. I would have no clothes and just a fan in my suitcase. And so when I got to this cave, you could imagine me looking around and being like, I'm never going to be able to sleep. What am I going to eat? Yeah. How can I connect with people, right?
Where were these caves? I got to ask.
Is that like, the TV show?
Yeah, so the show was called Opposite Worlds, and this was in 2014, and half of us were living in a cave and half were living in the future, so hence the opposite worlds. And we were actually separated by a glass wall, so we could see everything they had that we didn't, right? So comparison, hello, hi, they have a bathtub. They get to brush their teeth. We did not brush our teeth for 60 days. We did not shave. They were like, you know, they could talk to their house, like press a button and be like, Athena, bring us filet mignon and a massage. So we could see all these things, and we're over there in the sticks, like just like, wow, they have so much. And that was a moment where I realized, take it to social media. I go, hey friends, this is what we're going to do. We're no longer going to look over there at what we don't have. We're going to focus on what we do have. And so we'll no longer feel like we're lacking anything. This is what we do have. Now, the producers of the show didn't love that because that was part of the thing. They wanted us to be very upset and riled up about what we didn't have.
Pounding the glass probably, right?
Yeah, you know, how can we break the glass to get some food? So that was just one of those things. But life outside of that, I thought, oh my gosh, this is the secret to life, right? This is how you actually find your purpose, is you stop plugging into all these external things and people for temporary comfort, right? Because that's what it gives me when I plug my fan in. And that's not the ultimate fulfillment I'm looking for. It's just sleeping at night and the food and all the different things that we cook with to be able to eat. Now that's a project to have nothing to plug into and cook your food. Talk about going back in the day. But I started thinking about in life too, earlier in life, when I was plugging into alcohol and relationship after relationship and retail therapy and all these things that would bring, again, temporary relief or make me forget that I wasn't, you know, happy for that time or something. And so I thought, okay, if I stop plugging into all these external things and people, and I actually just plug into myself, what would that look like, right? And I visualize myself reaching for these cords plugged into all these different outlets, unplugging them and plugging it into me. And in that moment, when I plugged into myself, everything in my life made sense. It was like seeing a movie played backwards really quickly on connecting the dots of why that relationship didn't work out, why I moved to California, why my family situation was the way that it was, right? And in that moment, I forgave everyone and myself for everything that had ever happened, any resentment, anything I was holding on to. I forgave all of it, and I was at full, complete peace and freedom and lightness. It was just like, wow, all of that had to lead me to this place, and I'm happy where I am. So why would I blame anybody or be upset about anything, right? I can just be here now. And so when I had that realization, I thought, okay, well, not that I can tell people to go live in a cave for 60 days or to hike Kilimanjaro, right? Because these are all things I did after, because I wanted to create more unplugged experiences. I'm like, take my phone. I don't want it. And so I was like, what could they do first thing in the morning? And so that the unplugging, that's where that came from. And the word unplugged, my grandfather always would have acronyms for everything. Together, everyone achieves more. Team, this, that, kiss, keep it simple, silly. I would remember these things all the time in life. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to use the word unplugged, and I'm going to come up with a 9-step practice to help people disconnect, to reconnect back to their true self. Like, they never went anywhere. They've been there the whole time. It's just the noise and the chaos outside that confuses them or allows them to forget who they are for a moment. And so it's like remembering who you are, coming back to self. And that's where your purpose is. And that's where peace is. And that's where clarity is. All the things that we're seeking and looking outside of us are within us. And so I thought, okay, now when people wake up in the morning, before they plug back into the world, the noise, the chaos, they just need to plug into themselves. And here's the 9 steps that they can do. So that's where that came from.
I got to ask a clarifying question. Was it after 60 days in the cave, or was it like on day 27, I had this aha, or was it like a slow thing? Because I'm always interested in powerful experiences like that. Did it hit on day 21? Did it hit, or was it more gradual? And that's what you reflected at the very end.
It was gradual, but I will say there was a process, because the first 7 days I was starving. I was surviving. I felt like I was going to die. I wanted to quit. I wanted to go home. I cried. I thought about my grandfather, like just certain things that were like going on in my life. And so it's like you push past these certain things. And I think this is how we create habits, how we either like release a habit or create a habit in life. it is hard for the first 7 days. You're changing your environment. You're changing the way of your being. And it doesn't feel comfortable. But after 7 days, I started to adapt to my surroundings. That little place on the ground in the dirt where like bugs and spiders and rats were crawling was my space. And I actually started to become comfortable sleeping there without my fan, without all the things that I typically would have to sleep. I wanted to nestle right into that spot. So as I started getting more comfortable with that, and then I started changing my mindset, and my perspective over, I don't have to be here. I get to be here. And there's a reason why I'm here. And I want to lean into that. And I want to learn from that. And what an opportunity. When in my entire life have I ever had all my technology and all my devices taken away? Like where we got, you know, sent to timeout and there's nothing there. Because now you get sent to timeout with your devices. You cue the pandemic and lockdown, right? Go to your room, but keep all the computers and be more disconnected than ever, even though you think you're connected, right? But there it was like, no. You get to be with yourself. You get to be with your thoughts all day, every day. So who are you or who do you want to become? And that's when I got real serious with asking myself some questions because I thought God forgot about me and he didn't give me any talent because I wanted to be a professional athlete or professional musician and I can't sing to save my life. And I played basketball in college, but that was where that ended. And it was then that I feel like God really spoke to me too, because I was quiet and still and ready to receive. I was desperate. I was like, tell me, why am I here? Why am I in this cave? And I got the message that I'm here to facilitate relationships so we can live in a more connected world. And so in that moment, I got why I'm here and that everything I do in my life centers around facilitating relationships. People call me the human connector. I always want to connect them with somebody that can enhance their life and give them a sense of belonging and hope and a reason for being, which I'll talk about my grandfather a lot. He used to always say, what's your raison d'etre? And I'm like, Grandpa, I don't know what language that is. And I don't know how to spell that. And what it means is reason for being in French. And he said, as long as you know that, you'll keep moving forward, right? And so I wanted to give that to people as well, is this reason for being. And once you know your why and why you're here, then you know how to help people. You know what to say yes and no to. So I would say from day 7 to 21 is where I really was like grappling and wrestling and discerning what was really going on. And then I kind of had that visualization of the outlets and like what all we plug into. And then it was just this like unplugged. And that's when it came. So I think for anybody that's kind of looking for what is my purpose? Why am I here? I encourage them to get quiet and get still, maybe go into the wilderness, go out for a camping trip and unplug from all the devices. That's why people get all their best ideas when they're hiking. They're not usually on their phone and they're in nature. So they're very connected and like had this great idea, or maybe going to the bathroom or maybe in the shower, you know, when you're just not plugged in, that's when you are opening.
You shouldn't be plugged in.
Yeah.
Now, do you find that by setting that tone within yourself, that it just has rippled out into your relationships so much so that maybe some got much deeper and others went away?
Yes, absolutely. And Rob Mack and I talk about this a lot because he would say when he was taking on coaching clients, people would be like, why don't you want more? And he's like, because I'm lazy. I don't, you know what I mean? He'd just say stuff like, you know, I'm just being honest. Like, I only want this amount. And I said, you know, that's actually true. People are like, why do you want to fill your cup up first? Why do you focus on you first thing in the morning? I said, because I'm selfish, right? I'm selfish, but I want to fill my cup up so I can come show up powerfully for the people in my life. And so I can kind of discern between who should be in my life, who shouldn't be in my life, and how we complement each other. So that's why I do feel like it is the most important, because I don't want to give you to this conversation. I don't want to give you 10% of me because I didn't do my morning routine. I want to give you 100% of me because I did my morning routine. I want to be able to be there for my family and my friends and my commitments in the most powerful way. And for me, I know that the only way I can do that is when I read and I breathe and I do my movement and all of that first thing in the morning. So I do feel like even though it's for me, it's actually for everyone. And then taking that to relationships, once I got clear on my why, see, before I was the yes girl and I prided myself in being the yes girl. I said yes to everything and everyone. And then I realized I was saying no to the most important person, me. Every time I said yes to something else, I was saying no to me. Now, I still love to say yes, but I know who I am. And so when it comes to friendships and who I'm allowing into my living space, my headspace, conversations, all of that, I'm very clear on is this in alignment, and do we have the same core values? Because that's going to matter when it comes down to it, whether I'm in a friendship, romantic relationship, or business partnership.
Wow. And now what happens if you don't align? So you talk a lot about removing toxic relationships and toxic environments. So what happens when you are taking care of yourself, you are filling that cup, and someone in your life doesn't support that? I mean, that's a huge thing for us teaching. We have teens right now. We have teens to toddlers, but that's a huge thing that we often have to talk to our teens about. Like, you don't have to be around anybody that drains you. It's great to give, but let's think about, you know, that reciprocity. Make sure you're always teaching someone, and make sure you're always learning from someone. And what happens if you're in a relationship that you realize, like you said, you're the only yes? What do you do then?
So the first thing I encourage is for people to take inventory of their relationships. And just like what you just said, after I have a conversation with this person, after I go to coffee, after I go for a hike, am I drained? Do I need a nap from that? Or am I charged and inspired and I have a new business idea and I'm so excited? Those are the people that are on your front row. Those people that charge you, that inspire you, they're on your front row. Now take it upon yourself and take responsibility for setting up daily, weekly connections with them, or maybe every couple months you go on a trip with them, but you reach out. Because what you're going to find is that if you're not taking the initiative to reach out to the people that charge you, they're chargers. So they're not thinking about you, like needing you in their life, because they're chargers anyways. But the drainers, they text you every day. They call you every day. They need something all the time. And you're like, why am I spending all my time going to coffee with the drainers and not the people who charge me? And that's because the drainers are the ones reaching out, not the chargers. So you have to take that, set your front row, and then take responsibility and ownership for setting up whatever it is, whatever you want to cultivate with them. You set that up. So taking that inventory and also taking your own advice, because I'm somebody who's been telling people this for a long time. And then I wake up and I'm like, I have a very toxic person in my life. How did that happen? I'm not taking my own advice. And so it's like in that moment, I have to realize my weakness or my strength of like, you're allowing it, even though you're telling people not to. So now you got to rip the bandaid off. It might hurt a little bit at first, and it might not be super convenient. I think people stay in things a long time for convenience, but in the long run, you'll be happier. And so that's over the last 2 years between romantic relationships and living situations, I have done that. And yes, it wasn't convenient and it costs a lot more to break leases and do things. But in the end, I felt myself rising and elevating the more in alignment I was with my truth and doing what I was telling other people to do for myself. I felt the shifts happening.
That's so powerful. And I think it's super powerful to teach, you know, the next generation these same tools and how, you know, when we lead by example, they can follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Taking care of yourself, which you're so much better. Well, I'm getting better, but you're really good at that. And I've always admired that, but you'll be like, I'm going for a surf. Bye. And I'm like, Wow.
I just realize how off I am if I don't recharge. I'm just off. I'm cranky. I'm short. I'm foggy headed. You know, it's kind of like trying to drive 10 miles when you have 5 miles left in the gas tank, and it just doesn't go well. So I've learned that. Yeah. Jamie's come a long way where I said, hey, you're supposed to be doing this for you, because if you break down, a lot more is going to break down around you. And yeah, but it's tough. It's tough for everyone. There's, especially when you're have kids, sometimes there's a guilt. Their mom guilt is real.
Yep.
And I've seen a lot ladies do that, and I go, gosh, if you just, you're going to be so much better for them if you take some time for you.
And you teach them the same thing, right? To take time for themselves. Because I think they need to know, like, this feels good or this doesn't feel good. And oh, I could just go take time to read, or I could take time to go for a walk, or I could, you know, meditate, whatever it is, breath work, things like that. But just really showing them what is possible instead of telling them. So that's what I was saying. I'm telling them, but I'm not showing them. I'm not leading by example. I'm telling them what to do and it works for them. And yet I'm not being that leader the leader I would want to follow, right?
Absolutely. And now, speaking of people that you have in and out of your life, your girl squad, I love following you on social media because it looks like genuinely you guys have a good time. I mean, it's not like, it just looks like you guys really enjoy your time together. Now, how did you cultivate, I mean, this great squad of friends, people that you will have in your life that are enduring versus the ones that are draining.
Yeah. And I think that that really did start with taking inventory. Before, I was just friends with everybody because I love everyone and I want everyone to know that they belong and all of those things. But I really did start taking my own advice in that, man, every time I get off the phone with that person, I'm totally drained. I'm going to stop taking those calls. Man, every time I go for a hike with that person, I need a nap and it's not from the hike. Right. And so I just started, you know, not saying, hey, you're eliminated from my life, but instead of creating boundaries, because I kind of feel like a boundary is a line in the sand that says, you're over there, I'm over here, don't cross the line. A standard is something different. And that's the way I started living my life, at a certain standard. And my brand is feel good. I'm positive. I find a silver lining for everything. Things that you would never think you could find a silver lining for, I do. And it's genuine. It's not fake. Like, I'm not faking that I'm like happy or that I'm over something. I'm truly over it, like, quickly. And I mean, me and Rob talked about this too. The first time we met, we talked for 7 or 8 hours and I got a parking ticket. And during our talk, I was saying, if I ever get a parking ticket, I just pay it right away. I don't let it sit there. I don't look at it. And I say, thank you for the message that I can be more responsible, or that, you know, whatever the thing may be, I'm just, thank you for this, instead of being upset and letting it like go down a rabbit hole or something like that. And so I want to be around people that have that same mindset, right? I don't want to walk in and feel like I have to dim my light and that I have to have a bad day to connect with someone, because that's truly what would happen with some of my people I lived with. It would be like, if I don't have a story about how I had a bad day, I'm not going to be able to connect with this person. So I found myself starting to change, dimming my light, not being myself. And what I realized is, I'm like, if I'm here 80% of the time and I'm not 100% myself, then when I leave and walk out this door, I'm also not going to be myself, because I'm now, I have a habit of not being myself. Right. And so just kind of looking at that, people that share those, like I said, same core values, my number one is faith. So a lot of people that I go to church with, and then fitness is another one. So a lot of people that I work out with, and I kind of have different clusters of friends for different things. It's not like one person fits all. And I think that that's important for relationships too. I think people are looking for a romantic partner that fits every single area, when I actually have a friend that fits every single area. So I don't have to find that all in one person. And it just gives me this like whole completeness, instead of like, I'm looking for another half. So that's how I've been able to do that. And I just really look for genuine, real people, and not people that I'm looking for what can I get from them, or how can they help me get to a certain level, or introduce me to someone. I'm just like, do I like being in their presence? Am I happy? Am I laughing? That's somebody that I want to be around all the time. And I think when you have that intentionality, like, that is my intention, you will call in that because you're being that. So whatever you're being, you're calling in. And those are the people I have in my life. And so I'm very proud of the girl squad.
I love it. And actually, you just said the same thing that I was going to say. So would you agree that you attract what you are? So like you were saying, you know, I'm upbeat, I find a silver lining, like, that's what I want in my life. And if you set that intention and those boundaries, it shows up.
Yeah. And I think it's also important to get really honest, because I've called in some different friends at certain points when I thought I was high vibe. I was like, my frequency is so high, but I was in a relationship with someone who was not high vibe, who was very negative, who was kind of bringing me down. So that was my responsibility. I was like, oh, I'm calling in these friendships that are similar to this, even though I feel and think I'm high vibe. I'm out of alignment because I'm staying in a relationship that's toxic, that's not for me. So if I'm out of alignment, everything else in my life is going to be out of alignment. Who I'm calling in, different job opportunities, all that kind of stuff. It's going to cause stress and it's not going to be very peaceful. So I always look back at myself whenever those things happen. I take full responsibility for every situation that I find myself in.
Wow, that's really powerful. Taking responsibility is a huge thing to trickle down to our children and just in relationships in general. I know one thing Jim teaches a lot is apologizing, and
apologize, and I really appreciate fast that. And sincerely. So, but I believe me, that's sometimes a backhanded compliment. Remember, like last year, our second oldest son got in trouble and he wasn't really owning up. And our oldest son said, yeah, like, you know, how dad messes up all the time, but he apologizes right away. And I was like, yeah, what he said.
Thanks. So I don't know if it's. And you mean it. I think that's important part. And some people probably think you don't. That's earlier when I was saying some people think it's fake because they're like, well, you couldn't just be over it all of a sudden. But when you get it and you have the awareness that, why am I arguing right now? Is this because I want to win? Is this because my act is I don't need you and I want to prove that I don't need you? Like, once you get that, you're like, oh, I don't need to argue about this. Nobody is going to win if we keep arguing, right? Nobody's going to win if we hold on to things and we carry this weight and grudges and all these things. I'm like, I just want to forgive you so I can be free. You know, let's all just forgive each other and feel the weight come off our shoulders and what freedom is. And it's, I love that you do it fast and that you mean it. That's so important.
Well, yeah, well, we've learned a 10-minute issue can quickly escalate into a 4-day issue without simple apology and forgiveness. And it's like, gosh, that was easy. And think about how many days you take back and how much energy you take back. So it's been a big lesson for us for sure. I wanted to finale with our big question. So like I was telling you before pandemic, I had to really look into a wiser, bigger self than myself, you know, first going into it, all these unknowns and family and multiple businesses and what's happening. And so I, you know, we've all heard, oh, what would you say to that 18-year-old, you know, self? And that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But I said, I need something wiser than me right now. So we started to say, what would my 75-year-old self tell me right now? Mm-hmm. And we started to talk about it on the show. And then we started to ask guests. And it got just a huge response. And like, that was so powerful. And even the guests said, wow, I never thought of that. But now it gave me clarity on something I'm working on. So we wanted to kind of, our classic finale is asking the guest, you know, what would your wiser, older 75-year-old self say? Still young and lively and active and, you know, hopefully that's what I always say about us. But, you know, what do you think that advice that your 75-year-old self would give to you and to others now?
So when you say that, I immediately think of my grandfather.
Because we had some ties too, mm-hmm. her grandmother, my grandfather. So it's, understandable.
Because it's hard to imagine myself at that age, right? But if I can say, well, I know he's at this age, he's older than that now, older than 75, but the things that he instilled in me and said to me were so important. And those are the things that I say to the younger generation. One of those being the cream will always rise to the top. Mm-hmm. And so that allowed me to have patience on, okay, I'm not as good as that person at basketball yet, but I'm going to work hard and I'll get there. Like the cream will rise to the top. You will get mm-hmm. to the top of the mountain. There's going to be trials and struggles and things that come up, but you will get there. So that's one thing I would say. Another thing that he always instilled, and this is from sports and everything, is just that team aspect of together everyone achieves more. So I always think about the team and who we can bring into the team that buys into that same thing. But I'm imagining myself older, and this is a Rob Mack thing too, we were talking about, because we really believe the younger generation can teach us so much. Mm-hmm. And so many people are saying they're the future leaders, this and that. So let's listen to them. Yeah, I think that's good. But also there's so much in wisdom with the older generation that I would rather go to my grandparents to say, you've lived life and tell me how all these things have gone. And for me, what I would say to my younger self would be to stop worrying so much. Like, you're never going to figure it all out. It's all unknown. Like everything's uncertain. I don't know if I'm going to receive a text message in 1 minute that could change my life completely, right? So I don't know much. I don't know really anything when it comes down to it. And I think being able to say that, like, hey, you don't know it all. You're never going to figure it all out. But as long as you take one step and put one foot in front of the other every single day, you'll get where you're going. And you'll know what that destination is. For me, that's heaven. That's my destination. So, but yeah, that's something I would just stop worrying about.
Stop worrying. You're not going to figure it all out.
Again, not going to figure it all out ever.
Something that I'll be thinking about probably for the rest of the day.
Yes.
Now, Lauren, how can everyone find you?
Yeah.
So Instagram is the main platform that I use. And so that's Lauren L. Donahue, which is a new name change. And I'm fully embracing that. The weight I was carrying from the other name, I didn't realize until I let it go. So in the process of that, but that's where people can find me. And I post about any upcoming retreats, events, workshops, fun stuff, or just inspiration, feel good stuff.
Yes, I definitely feel good. I know everyone, once everyone sees your shining face, they're going to want to be your friend.
Oh, I appreciate
that. I mean, and that's what drew me to Rob, most definitely. And then when he introduced us, I was like, oh, how can I not have fun with this lady? So,
oh, I love that. I'm sure we're all going to meet in person soon. We're going to be on an island somewhere. Clay and Rob, you guys, we're going to be there.
Fun. We can do that. We leave for Costa Rica for 3 weeks tomorrow. So we're, if you get a hair,
that's where you can find us.
Come down.
Oh my gosh, I love it. My friend's hosting two retreats back to back in Costa Rica in the next couple weeks. So they'll all be over there too.
No kidding. That's yeah. So cool. We got married there. So it's a special place and we love to have friends join us down there. So
really I love fun. It. I love it so much. This has
been. Yeah, so we've really enjoyed this, Lauren. Thanks for sharing. And I know nothing about the Girl Squad, but now I guess I have to check it out. So I probably can't join, but I like the fundamentals of it. So
you have your guy squad.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. We do he's with Clay and a couple of the others. So
you're just not as pretty.
I'm not as pretty as you guys. I'll be the first to say that. I'm proud to say that. So, but I definitely enjoyed that and learned, and I appreciate you coming on and especially sharing our values like with our buddy Rob Mack. And this is a good message for our people. So I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you again. It was really wonderful. Good.